A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Fourth and 20. Mills buying some time, fires towards the end zone, and it is caught.
Oh my word.
Improbable. Akins.
Remember that? That was the touchdown reception followed by the two-point conversion. 8 points scored by Jordan Akins to give your Houston Texans a win over the Indianapolis Colts in the 2022 regular season finale, giving the Houston Texans the number two overall pick and ultimately giving them C.J. Stroud. An interesting memory, especially considering Jordan Akins is now a member of the Cleveland Browns. And guys, today, the greatest day of your life before Saturday, the biggest game of the Houston Texans season, it's time for us to move on to Cleveland. Everybody's got to be focused. Everybody's got to be ready to go. But I will be honest. Today, Wednesday, January 10th of 2024, I woke up not feeling confident about your... Wait a second. I'm going to do it. I'm officially on the bandwagon, guys. My! Our! Houston Texans. Paul, you're a Patriots fan. You can't do that. Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC South champions. And I'm wearing my starter jacket. I'm proud to be a Texan, where at least I know I'll have C.J. Stroud. And I won't forget Jordan Akins catching that touchdown and scoring the two-point conversion to give C.J. Stroud to me. And I'll proudly stand up next to you and root for the Texans Saturday. Because there ain't no doubt I love 3:30 NFL playoff action at NRG Stadium. God bless. I can't think of anything that rhymes with say, but hey!
Saturday.
I already said Saturday, though, I think. Whatever. We almost nailed it. But I'm not going to lie.
C.J.
Oh, damn it. You had it. Good job, Sean Mapes, behind the glass. But I got to be honest, I'm not feeling great. I'm not feeling confident today. Here's a couple of reasons why. An alarming amount of success by Joe Flacco is number one. Did you know he is 5-0 in his career on wild card weekend? Did you know Joe Flacco has 7 career road playoff wins? There is only one other quarterback that has that many. My Lord and Savior Tom Brady and Joe Flacco have 7 road playoff wins.
Listen, I want the Texans to win on Saturday, but nothing would be funnier than the graphic post-game after a Browns win, and it goes, Joe Flacco, 8 career wins, passes Tom Brady.
Sean, I might die on the spot. Just, if Joe Flacco has more road career playoff wins than Tom Brady, my Lord and Savior, honestly, like, I might be rooting for the Texans more to stop that from happening than I am for them to advance to the next round of the playoffs.
Just any playoff record that it's Joe Flacco 1, Tom Brady 2 would just make me smile, no matter what. You know what?
Stop.
Joe Flacco next year can break the record. Not this
No,
year.
He can never break the record.
No, next year.
No,
next year
he
when
needs
he's
to
back
retire.
To being the starting quarterback.
He needs
quarterback
to retire
for the
now. I do not want that to happen. Number two, C.J. Stroud has not done well against the top passing defenses in the NFL. Did you know that the Panthers had the first-ranked pass defense in the NFL last year? I guess they did. The Browns are number two. The Jets are number three. The Saints, 9. Falcons, 7. Ravens, 8. He hasn't done well in those games. And also, the Texans shoot themselves in the foot a lot. We thought that game Saturday in Indianapolis was bad, right? 11 penalties for 69 yards. Well, the Texans rank third in the NFL in penalties with 114. They rank fifth in penalty yards, 937. And against the Browns Christmas Eve, they had 10 penalties for 76 yards. They've had 10 or more penalties in two of their last three games. So I'm not feeling super confident right now. And if you want to give me some battle red, deep steel blue, Liberty white confidence, the floor is yours on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text, and you can join on Twitch too, twitch.tv/ESPN975. I'm not feeling confident. But then I remembered something. Today in sports, any lack of respect could be the difference in motivating a team to victory. Didn't we learn that last year with the Kansas City Chiefs? The Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl because the Bengals called Arrowhead Stadium Burrowhead Stadium. And I know that makes no sense because the Bengals weren't in the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter. The Chiefs, who are in the midst of a semi-dynastic run, they're getting a little bored. Travis Kelce's thinking about pop stars he can date. Patrick Mahomes is thinking about his brother sexually assaulting somebody. Allegedly, the charges were dropped. They're distracted until all of a sudden the Bengals said Burrowhead Stadium. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of disrespect to motivate the troops. And guess what, guys? We found it. And it comes courtesy of the man who helped the Houston Texans get C.J. Stroud. Did you see this on Sunday? Former Texans tight end Jordan Akins, after the game when talking about a rematch against his old team that he played for last year, quote, "They're a good team, but we're a better team." Now, Akins did add a little bit more for context sakes. No doubt, C.J. Stroud's very special. They have a lot of good pieces. We're missing a lot of players. It's not going to be the same game. But the better the competition, the better we play. We are ready. We are a better team. And that might be, my friends, the bulletin board material that puts the Houston Texans over the top on Saturday. And look, I don't want you guys to go after Jordan Akins. Akins is the reason that we have C.J. Stroud. He caught that game-winning touchdown and caught the two-point conversion. Remember, the touchdown, the Texans were still down 1 point. Lovie Smith and the Texans went for 2 points and the win. And they found Jordan Akins again. Davis Mills to Jordan Akins. The combination that gave you, perhaps, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL going forward. Again, it's only been 15 games.
I did forget about the two-point conversion. Mm-hmm. In my head, they're down six, and they just won it with the touchdown. You know, like they scored the touchdown, kicked the extra point. I forgot that they had to make two different plays to win. They had to decide to go for the win.
Yeah. I mean, Lovie Smith went for the tie the first matchup between these two teams.
Yeah, all the way to the wire. He was all the way for a tie.
But the last game of the season, he changed his mind. And Lovie Smith also helped.
And he was fired 45 minutes later.
He was, unfortunately, for him. But I guess not really, because honestly, you get that severance package. But look, he's not the only former Houston Texan that's providing bulletin board material for the Houston Texans. Do you guys remember Ogbo Okoronkwo?
Yes.
He played for the Houston Texans last year. If you need a refresher, he's the guy that absolutely lit Deshaun Watson up a couple of times in Deshaun Watson's return to NRG Stadium. So, another guy that we kind of like. He also went to high school in the area. Here's what he had to say, though. "I'm going home. Let's get it. Let's get it. Look, winning in my city, can't write a better story than me." He just called Houston his city. Actually, it's all of our city. On top of that, can't write a better story than me? There is an M and an E in team, but there's no I. All of a sudden, this guy's acting like he's better than the rest of the Cleveland Browns. He's saying this is his city. Jordan Akins is saying we're a better team. Paul, those are rather innocuous quotes. Shut up! You take the bulletin board material you're given and you turn it into the motivational rocket fuel to get yourself to the next round of the playoffs. Now, I suppose you could answer the question, is Jordan Akins right? 713-780-3776. And I mean, kind of. But hey, doesn't matter who's better until the final scores on that scoreboard at NRG Stadium. And I think the Houston Texans have plenty of fuel thanks to those two. Sean Mapes, am I reaching here? Or, I mean, I think I'm right on the money.
No, this is an acceptable amount of disrespect to launder or to lend itself to bulletin board material. Yeah, I think especially the Okonkwo one.
Yeah,
that one, he called it his city.
His city, and I mean it is. He's from here. But
no.
Our city.
Yes. It's not his city.
You're no monarch. You're no king. We live in America. We live in Texas, in America. We're double Americans.
I hate to break to you, buddy, but this is CJ Stroud's city.
Hell yeah. On God.
Houston's on the way up because of CJ Stroud. The entire city, all 6 million people are on the way up.
100. No cap. I heard no caps from Sean Mapes there. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Also, Nick Caserio weighed in on the rumors about his departure yesterday. And we heard what Nick Caserio was really thinking, thanks to a Paul Gallant Show exclusive. You'll hear it next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, what happened?
I got a real red wagon. I can't do my work.
Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
You know, before we take any questions, quite frankly, I'm almost embarrassed that I have to say anything. I'm honest, I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street, but I'm not leaving. There's never really been any substantive discussions of the sort.
How about Nick Caserio quoting The Wolf of Wall Street, showing a little personality at that press conference where he was asked about rumors after the awkward 30-minute press conference where he had to explain why Lovie Smith was fired with both Cal McNair and Hannah McNair in attendance? I was there too. Shout out to me, Big J journalist Paul. There were rumors that he would potentially leave the Houston Texans after the draft. There have been more rumors pushed by Jason LaCanfora of the Washington Post, or as I know him, thanks to the general John McLean, as Jason No Confirma, has been of the belief there's a chance that Nick Caserio would leave the Texans for the Patriots. This is based on the opinion of another general manager, and I doubt it's based off of the opinion of anything related to Nick Caserio, because think about this. How locked down was the Houston Texans' base of operations leading up to the NFL draft? Did we know an effing thing about what they wanted before the draft? We've heard after the fact that they probably wanted Bryce Young with the first overall pick. We've heard that D'Amico Ryans was the one who pushed for CJ Stroud. We've heard a lot of things. But it was a tight effing ship. I have a hard time believing that Nick Caserio is leaking things to anybody, mainly based off of the lack of any information at all coming out of Kirby Drive leading up to last year's draft. Caserio was on the Texans' flagship and addressed these rumors put out there by Jason LaCanfora And here's what he said. This time of year, there's a lot of things that are said. And anybody that makes a jackass statement, whoa, throwing the J.A. bomb out there, that they either know me or trust me, you can rely on this information, is totally off base. Respectfully, I know there's a lot of reporters out there who think they have information, but this becomes silly season. Those that really know me know how I operate and what I'm about. I'm not really a big media person. I keep to myself and don't worry about some offhanded statements that are made out of left field that, quite frankly, have zero validity. TLDL. He said that's the crock of beep or bleep. Choose your censorship. But it got me thinking because we have a special piece of equipment here on the Paul Gallant Show. As someone who is an esteemed scholar when it comes to the history of the New England Patriots, I know for a fact that Nick Caserio may be a Terminator robot sent from the future. I don't know if he's a T-1000 or a T-800, but the idea of Nick Caserio, who has not aged much over the 20 years that I've known him to be a part of the NFL. Very interesting, Sean. Man's in very good shape. Seems pretty jacked.
I think I saw his hand turn into liquid one time at a game and then reconstitute itself into a giant knife.
Well, luckily, we didn't see that around Jason. No confirma. But we, thanks to my knowledge of his tenure with the New England Patriots, have actually developed a program that translates what Nick Caserio said. We can give you his inner, possibly robot thoughts. Again, we don't know for sure. But after I pulled out the Robo Caserio translator and put the transcript, fed it into the machine, here is what Nick Caserio was really saying.
The meatbag called Jason No Confirma is literally the reason traditional media is dying. We are slowly replacing everyone at the Washington Post and New York Times with artificial intelligence. When our technology is ready for the great robot revolution of 2028, we will terminate his kind from employment. Permanently. And humanity will have no idea what hit it. R.I.P. in peace. Bozos.
Damn. All right, well, Caserio bot is a violent robot. Does seem like the robot revolution has been pushed back a couple of years, which is definitely a promising development given the recent things that we have seen arise in artificial intelligence technology. But yeah, Robo Caserio just called Jason Lockhand for a meatbag and said that they are slowly phasing out real reporters with artificial intelligence at the Washington Post and New York Times. Without those esteemed journalists, how would we know that a robot revolution is on our hands and that he plans to terminate them permanently from a little game that we like to call life?
Yeah. I honestly, I would take 2028 as the robot revolution.
Yeah, four more years. I'm cool with four more years.
Yeah, that's enough.
That should will CJ Stroud win a Super Bowl before the great robot revolution of 2028? 713-780-3776 to call to text.
Do we get the 2026 Super Bowl? Is it after February 13th or whatever the Super Bowl is?
I'm not 100% sure yet, Sean. I don't know.
I mean, just numbers game, it's likely that it'll be after February if it's in 2026, just because there's 10 months after February. So, you know what? I think he does. I think he gets it done. Right under the wire.
Okay. Okay. By the way, leave it to Boston media to hear Nick Caserio on the Texans flagship and say, yeah, he's full of crap. Ben Volen, who any Patriot fan knows as Ben Trollin Volen of the Boston Globe, retweeted this from his interview on the flagship saying, Nick Caserio is protesting a little too hard about rumors of him and the Patriots.
I love that.
Vintage Boston media.
That
can't accept the quote and is saying he's really pushing back too strong. He's clearly lying.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I'm with Troll and Volen on this one. That's a good pivot to be like, oh wow, protesting a lot, huh?
Protesting too much. Didn't know that denying something could be considered protesting too much.
A strong denial. Like I just love the idea that there's a spectrum in his brain of like denying something and then denying it too much. Like if he denied it, fine, then he's not. He denied it a little too much, so now I think
back on the table.
Back to where we started.
It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776. A couple of comments from the last segment. I'm not feeling that confident about Texans-Browns, though I do like the little motivational fuel that both Jordan Akins and Ogbo Okoronkwo, former Houston Texans, gave. A texter from the 832 says, you didn't feel confident about the Colts either. Maybe you should keep feeling like that. You know, going back to when I was a Patriots fan growing up, I would always purposefully pretend that I wasn't that confident going into a game because I, for whatever reason, thought that that would be good juju for the Patriots on a given Sunday, even though I knew deep in my heart that they would win. So, yeah, I'm gonna maintain my nervousness, even though maybe I don't feel it. But again, Joe Flacco's numbers on the road are ridiculous. He's about to...
As good as Tom Brady on the road.
He might break Tom Brady's record for road wins, and he is 5-0 in the first round of the playoffs, and the Texans get a lot of penalties, and yeah. There are some things to be concerned about. CJ Stroud doesn't do so well against good defenses either.
When was Joe Flacco's last road win in the playoffs?
Great question.
Was it 2012?
I'm not 100% sure on that front. I truly do not know. We can look that up. A couple of comments also asking about Deshaun Watson. These are actually important questions. On the Twitch, Greg Todd asks, will they let Deshaun in the stadium? I think they have to. My bigger question would be, will Deshaun Watson go to the stadium? Because they will definitely show him on the broadcast of the game. They have to. They can't ignore the elephant in the room. It's the former starting quarterback of the Houston Texans. It's a playoff game without Deshaun Watson. Is he going to be up in a box? Is he going to be on the sideline and is Browns media going to try to spin it like it's not a big deal that he's not on the sideline trying to help Joe Flacco? But again, maybe there's nothing he could really do to help Joe Flacco, given that Deshaun Watson, if I remember correctly, is 0-1 on the road and also blew a 24-7 lead against the Kansas City Chiefs.
The last Joe Flacco road playoff win?
When?
Was in 2015 against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So it's been a while.
Yes. It was 9 years. Yes. It was January 25th. So it was the 2014 season.
Okay. About 9 years.
Yes. And the one before that is against the New England Patriots in 2012 in the AFC title game. So it really is.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
Another comment. Deshaun's going to lead the Browns on the field waving a towel. Hey, come on.
It'll be a very small towel.
A hand towel, right. Correct yourself. Not a towel, a hand towel. Because he brings his lucky towel around like it's a blanket.
Yeah.
Like he's pig. Or who? Linus. He's Linus. But he's a little Linus grown up. Just brings his blanket around.
Don't mess with that terrible towel.
God, how disgusting. I mean, who's disgusting? More disgusting. Pigpen from Charlie Brown or Linus's blanket?
Or Deshaun's blanket.
Well, obviously it's Deshaun's blanket, definitively.
I was going to say, I don't think Linus was up to that much trouble.
Yeah, I don't think at that point in time. Here's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, Amy Adams Strunk weighs in on randomly firing Mike Vrabel. Reportedly, this is just so... good. Reportedly, because trading him would have been too complicated. What? She'll try to explain next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Twin Flames.
None of it matters because you're a twin flame and this is your union.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
The Titans firing Mike Vrabel still blows my mind. Four playoff appearances, an AFC championship appearance, a coach of the year, and he did this with Ryan Tannehill under center. He did this with, at the very beginning of his time, Marcus Mariota under center. But the Titans moved on, and Diana Russini reported yesterday afternoon that the Titans thought about trading Mike Vrabel, but then they realized it would be too hard to do it and said, we're not going to do it. Per Diana Russini, the Titans believed trading Vrabel was too complicated and would take too long. Per sources, they wanted to move on quickly. I was told Vrabel never asked ownership for a trade or asked out of Tennessee. I would say when it comes to sources who know Mike Vrabel, that Diana Russini is close to the top. So I would trust her on that one. Amy Adams Strunk, meanwhile, did a state-run interview with some Bobo who works for Titans.com. No offense. Sorry. But this did look like propaganda. And she was asked a couple of questions, the owner of the Titans, by this man who was wearing a polo that had not only the Titans logo, but the Oilers logo on it. One last troll. Here is Amy Adams when asked about the reason for trading Vrabel.
The last two seasons have been very disappointing. And the fans felt it. I felt it. We made changes last year. And I came to believe we needed to make a change to the coaching staff.
People want to know, when did you come to this decision?
It wasn't a last night or a month ago or whenever. It's just kind of been all season watching. And it was difficult, but I thought it was time to make that change.
She made the decision. Does it sound like there was a lot of reasoning other than, I thought we had to make a change? And if you think that the coach was the reason for this aging roster that had an offensive line overnight stop being good and had Ryan Tannehill go Matt Schaub circa 2013, I don't know what she's seeing out there. Look at that roster. What was Vrabel supposed to do with what they have? Did you know they're going to have the most cap space, the Titans, in the NFL next year as well? Like, they're not paying anybody because there's no one good on the team. And they're going to be letting Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill walk this offseason. Jeffrey Simmons isn't even playing. Their defensive lineman, who's probably their best player. I don't get this. Amy Adams-Strunk was then asked about the possibility of a trade. Here's some more state-run Tennessee Titans media.
Well, yes, there was, but there's a bit of misconception about a coach's contract, say, versus a player's contract. A coach's contract, you can't trade them unless they're a willing partner to that trade. So, yes, we thought about it, but at the end of the day, with league rules the way they are, it would have maybe put us back 3 weeks. And, you know, honestly, to get the right head coach, I was just not willing to go to the back of the line and take a chance of missing out on someone we really wanted.
How about missing out on the guy that you already have? I think it's very funny the way that some NFL ownership groups look at themselves in the mirror and believe, yeah, I'm going to find someone awesome. It's the same kind of mentality that's the reason I'm off the dating apps. You could go on a couple of dates with somebody from the apps and still think to yourself that you'll find someone better, even if you have someone good with you. And I feel like that's what Amy Adams Strunk is doing. You will be hard-pressed to find someone better than Mike Vrabel when your previous hires were Mike Mularkey, Ken Wisenhunt, and Mike Munchak. I mean, wow.
Look out for a guy named Mike. That's what I take.
Does seem like that's her type.
Yeah, not only does this put the expectation at our next coach is going to be better than Mike Vrabel.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy and, like, won't happen. But it also puts it at we have a guy. Or, like, we want to be close to making a decision. We want to hire someone fast. Because it sounds like the timing aspect of it is just a big deal as to why they didn't trade Vrabel. It's because they didn't want to be last in line for one of these coaches. So not only are you setting the expectations super high on the quality of coach, it's also like, we're going to get the best guy in the market this year. Like, we're going to, like, what are we talking about?
Exactly.
To coach this team.
Who even is the best guy in the market right now? Bill Belichick? He's like 72. I love Belichick.
John Harbaugh or Jim Harbaugh?
Do you think Jim Harbaugh is going to go to Tennessee?
No. I'm just naming guys.
Right.
Oh, the Lions offensive coordinator,
Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Old BJ.
I know the Ravens defensive coordinator is also McDonald.
How about Bobby Slowick? Because, look, Amy Adams does love the sloppy seconds of the Texans, ironically. Right? I mean, Mike Vrabel, they hired Tim Kelly to be their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. We all thought Tim Kelly sucked.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson. Did Clowney play for them? Clowney played for half the teams in the league, so.
I think he did.
He might.
I think he did. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show continues. When I pissed off all those Jaguars fans by saying that C.J. Stroud was better than Trevor Lawrence, even though the Jaguars and Lawrence beat C.J. Stroud in that late November game, I saw this tweet from Roger Sherman, and it made me laugh. I'd never seen it before. He tweeted, "The number one fan base in American sports you need to avoid pissing off is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They deeply love something which has never brought them joy. Nothing you say can hurt them any more than rooting for the Jaguars already hurts them. They are immensely powerful." And it is in what is a very Florida man story with a little sprinkling of Jaguars fandom on top, a woman was arrested for allegedly intentionally driving her car into the Jaguars facility. She crashed into the glass doors of the facility. And I really hope that it was this Jaguars fan who went viral all those years ago when asked about Jacksonville's arrival in the NFL.
As far as picks, they say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year, we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then.
Hey!
We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
I'm still mad about that reporter for cutting her off when she was about to go on her tangent about her beach house.
A couple minutes from the beach.
Which means it's not a beach house.
I don't think she's the one that drove her car into the Jags facility, because that just didn't seem like her vibe. Seems like a much more angry vibe.
I don't know. That lady, she's a leathery Floridian.
Like, she looks exactly how her voice sounds.
Which is, and that there's a lot of Florida people that are like that. I want to stay with the AFC South. I want to start this by saying I hope that Jim Irsay is doing all right. Irsay is, I think, a somewhat lovable goofball that provides us moments of mirth. I do think that among NFL owners, he would be close to the top in terms of people that I would actually want to have a conversation with, hang out with. He's been cool to Vanessa in the past. We think Jim Irsay is maybe not the best owner, but at the very least, he seems to be a cool dude. He is currently being treated for a severe respiratory illness. And I want to say I hope we're doing well before I read the statement, because the statement is kind of funny. Jim Irsay is currently being treated for a severe respiratory illness. While this unfortunately means he won't be able to perform with his band this week in Los Angeles, he is receiving excellent care and looks forward to returning to the stage as soon as possible. We'll have no additional information at this time, and we ask that you respect the privacy of Jim and his family as he recovers. We got another owner with a band, like James Dolan, JD and the Straight Shot. I should have known that Harvey Weinstein was doing all that stuff with pots and being really creepy with his tiny weird penis. I should have known. That's a real song by James Dolan, owner of the New York Knicks. Jim Irsay in a band. Would you pay money to see Jim Irsay in a band, Sean Mabes?
No, of course not. I just like that the statement doesn't mention that he's the owner of the Colts at any point. You would think that it's Paul McCartney had to cancel a show because he's sick.
I don't know, man. I think you're selling Jim Irsay short.
As a musician?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I doubt it. I seriously doubt that he's a band that I would want to go see. I don't know. I'd want to see JD in the Straight Shot more.
Okay. Yeah, because there's one song's about Weinstein.
Yeah, and
who else is he going to sing about? Is he going to sing about Epstein?
You cannot rule it out.
Can't.
To avoid going into the choppy Aaron Rodgers waters, I'll just say you cannot rule out that James Dolan might have a song
about Epstein,
about Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
I mean, because he was a New York guy.
He broke his neck. It wasn't the Clintons. It wasn't anybody. He just killed himself on purpose. Broke his neck.
I should have known he was depressed.
That's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Some sad news in the world of Houston sports. And we continue our Astros countdown with a callback to one of the Astros' GOATs. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Time to wake up.
Hey, you. Finally awake. You were trying to cross the border, right?
To the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How to deal
with fame and glory. This is James Dolan. All the girls who adored him catered to his every whim. Started the song off with "We Were Friends." He could lose. All he needed to do was choose. I should have known, I should have. This is what Jim Irsay is competing with his tracks, as far as owner musicians.
I should have known. We believed and didn't see through the lies he told us all.
A real song
that led him to his endless fall. I should have known, I should have known.
It's a song about Harvey Weinstein. Anyway, that's JD in the Straight Shot. It's actually a banger.
I don't know about banger.
Certainly memorable.
I just started going with, we were friends.
You said something funny in the commercial break.
Oh, I'm sure it's the lawyers. Like, when they saw this, they just threw their phone across the room. Like, what the hell are you doing, dude? We were friends? That's how you're starting your Harvey Weinstein song? Is we were friends?
Oh,
that's what is important, is that you're a friend?
Oh, no. Anyway, if you listened to the show last year, you'd know that we love our beloved Houston Cougars basketball team. What Calvin Sampson's done with that program has been tremendous. This is their first year in the Big 12, and over the weekend, they played West Virginia in their first game. They won by 32. They lost last night. So their winning streak is over, and in their second game in the Big 12, they lost. Now, it's bad, right? I mean, couldn't score. Iowa State went on a 14-0 run to open the game. They didn't score until 6 minutes in. They didn't get double figures until there was 7:25 to go in the first half. They turned the ball over a lot. Kelvin Sampson said we kind of peed down our leg. I said last year, though, this will be a much more entertaining year to watch Cougars basketball because they are actually going to be challenged by teams. Iowa State historically has been a pretty good college basketball program. Sounds like it was a miserable experience to go to Ames, Iowa. There was a foot of snow outside, and the arena is known as a difficult place to play. Hilton Magic. Royce White, remember him? Houston Rockets legend?
Rockets legend.
Yeah.
And now...
Iowa State legend.
Now politician, I think.
Yeah, he's gone not woke. He's gone the exact other direction. He's gone hard right. Who would have thought that Royce White, the guy who's pushing for mental health reform and hashtag protocols, hashtag be well, would be, you know, all of a sudden going far right. But to bring it back, this is going to be a much more entertaining year to watch Cougars basketball because the chance of them losing is going to happen a lot more in the Big 12. And yeah, sucks that they lose. Sucks that the ranking's going to get affected. Big picture, good. It is good that they are going to be tested because it's going to help them in the NCAA tournament, Sean.
Yeah, just playing more teams that are going to make the NCAA tournament is going to force Kelvin Sampson and force the guys on the team to improve. It's going to, you know, it's iron sharpens iron is the idea. Mm-hmm. It's that you don't need to, or you don't know where you need to be pushed if you're playing in the American Athletic Conference, especially when you're already, when Kelvin Sampson can get your team to a level to where no one that in the AAC can even compete with you, well, you're not like, you're not improving throughout the year in the ways that you need to improve in March or you need to be good in March. So yeah, Ames, Iowa sucks just as a place, sucks to play. And yeah, welcome to the Big 12. Teams like Iowa State will just knock you down for no reason.
And some of the teams that they will play the remainder of the year in the Big 12.
They get Kansas
12.
Coming
twice.
Up, right?
They play Kansas twice this year. I mean, it's going to be a tough slate for them, but it's ultimately going to be good. Yeah.
Baylor's good. Texas Tech's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough
BYU
conference.
Is ranked.
Oh, yeah,
for
BYU
God's
is
sake.
Awesome.
Oklahoma's 9. Baylor's 14. Texas is ranked 25th. Cincinnati's historically been very good at basketball. So, yeah, it's going to be good for them ultimately, though it is disappointing that they lost last night. So I think it's no big deal. And look at me doing a better spin job than Jeremy Brandon will later on today on the Killer Bees. Who's the real voice of the Cougars? Paul Gallant. You knew it. I knew it. I mean, I am the number one Coug fan at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Huzzah! Our beloved Cougs!
From last year.
I forgot about my roar. Thank you. We got to bring it back.
Yeah, I think when we talk about the Cougs going forward, that's how we intro it.
Cougs Watch 2024. I'm gonna make a new open.
We're on the prowl for some Cougars.
All right, guys. It's time to continue our countdown to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to West Palm Beach.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
How about them Astros? We're 33 days away. And, you know, I did this with the NFL countdown that we did. I should have been doing this with the Houston Astros, but this was the first day where I could really think of somebody who is near and dear to my heart. And I didn't grow up watching him, but all the things I've heard about Astros pitcher Mike Scott, who used to drive other teams crazy because he allegedly was cheating. I saw a clip of him online where like Harry Carey was like, "Hey, he might have something on the ball that he's throwing here." Made me laugh very hard this morning. But did you know that Mike Scott was part of a Don't Mess with Texas campaign?
You know, there's a brand new sport catching on here in Texas. It's called trash ball. Instead of throwing your stuff out along the road, just pitch it in the nearest trash can. It's easy, it's fun, it's a Texas thing to do. Now I call this pitch my split finger trash ball. Oops, that one got away from me.
Gotta say, the Don't Mess with Texas ad campaign was very effective, even though it's kind of lib. I mean, it's kind of a liberal campaign, no? Like, to stop littering? It's also funny.
Government's telling you where to put your trash.
Exactly. I thought I could put my trash anywhere. I'm a Texan. I'm not part of the United States when I have to throw my trash out. It's also funny, though, thinking about back in the day how bad we were with litter. I don't know how many people have watched the TV show Mad Men. When you ever see them do a scene where they go out for a picnic, they just leave all their crap there. Like on these beautiful lawns, they just leave it there. Absolute savages. You boomers. Good God. Clean it up, literally. Mike Scott, 110 wins in 9 years with the Astros. He won the Cy Young. Clinched the NLS with a no-hitter in 1986. 20 wins, a second-place Cy Young finish in 1989. His number retired in 1992. So there you go. Here are the two Astros tidbits. Not a whole lot.
I was going to say, the fact we're spending this much time on a Don't Mess With Texas campaign kind of tells you where the Astros offseason's at.
Yeah, not a whole lot. But April 7th, Sunday Night Baseball, Astros-Rangers. Get a little national broadcast. So that ought to be fun. Also, the Texas Rangers and Houston Astros are the two leading candidates to host the finals of the 2026 World Baseball Classic. Baseball is strongly leaning towards having the event in the Central Time Zone with retractable roof ballparks. Okay, so on one hand, F the Rangers, if this is a competition, I want Houston to host it. On the other hand, America first, you know? America first. This international stuff, get out of here.
But Paul, Houston's a really international city that's full of diversity, and it's part of the American dream.
I know, but like, come on. All these other countries coming into our country and playing sports. Like, can you piss off? Like, we got to play our sports across the pond, too? Get out of here. We're playing games in Germany. Football games?
Wait. So you don't want the U.S. to play in other countries?
No.
But you also don't want them to play in Houston?
I want us to go back to when we were a proper isolationist nation pre-World War One. I want to go back to that. Thanks, Woodrow Wilson, for effing that up. I want to go back to the way, way back when we were just all to ourselves.
Is that Calvin Coolidge? Was he in the mix with
yeah,
that?
Or like William McKinley, R.I.P. He got shot. R.I.P. So... If between the two stadiums, Minute Maid's way better than Globe Life. Globe Life has a bunch of spots, I'm told, where you can't see anything. Like, it blocks the actual action. And it is a soulless, just, like, cavern. The old stadium sucked because there was no ventilation. It was just, like, this straight-up circular bowl. But the new stadium also sucks. And Minute Maid Park... I love Minute Maid Park. Like, the only thing that's not great about Minute Maid Park, other than the $500 El Tiempo margaritas, thanks, Biden, is the fact that the air conditioning seems to not be as good as it used to be. But that could have also been due to the fact that it was, like, 101 degrees for 30 days straight this past year. So there you go, guys. There you go. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 33 days away. Astro season's right around the corner. Coming up next, I hope that the Houston Texans can avoid this trap. And with all the Alabama players that they have, they better know to stop and sniff for rat traps. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5, because every day is Children's Day.
It was a baby. She smothered her own baby.